Now, we turn with some relief on my part from technical matters to expository matters, and I want to ask you to turn in your Bible with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and it is that chapter which I want us to think through together and hear from God's lips. Ephesians chapter 2, you will recollect that the Epistle to the Ephesians has as its opening chapter an account of the nature of the salvation that God has brought us in Jesus Christ. And in the second chapter, he deals with the nature of Christian experience. That is the application of this glorious redemption by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to our own lives. And I want us to read the whole of chapter 2, and depending on how our time is, we will possibly have a break for a moment or two halfway through. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. We praise God for his word and delight to read it publicly for his glory. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, I say, has often been given the title, The Nature of Christian Experience, so the title is not original to me. But in this chapter, Paul is really asking the question, what exactly happens to someone when the grace of God touches their lives? What is it that takes place when a work of grace is performed in somebody's experience? He has been dealing with the nature of Christian salvation in the previous chapter, but now he comes to the nature of Christian experience, and he answers that question, in two ways. Notice in chapter 2, there is really a division of the chapter into two parts. Verses 1 to 10 deal with the first answer he gives to the question, and that is that true Christian experience is a resurrection by which, through our union with Christ, we are raised up into newness of life. And the second answer he gives in verse 11 is that we are not only resurrected in Christ, we are reconciled in Christ, not only to God, but to our fellow believers, in this case specifically, the Gentiles. So if you wanted two phrases which Paul uses for these two ways of seeing the nature of Christian experience, the first would be in verse 5, that we are made alive with Christ. Verse 5, he made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. And the other phrase in verse 13 is that we are not only made alive, we are brought near. So in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Chapter 2 of Ephesians is really an exposition of what is involved in these two concepts, made alive and brought near. Now, Paul begins in chapter 2, verse 1, with a description of man in his natural state. And it is an extraordinary thing really to grasp what it is that the apostle is saying. As for you, he says, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. More vividly, in one of the more modern translations, he found you dead. When God came to you, in what condition were you? He is speaking to the whole of redeemed humanity. What condition were you in when God found you? And the answer is, you were dead through transgressions. Now, this is the condition of all men